We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Knicks would take three or four against Miami. This would put them up. Four losses on the Heat, and they have the tiebreaker as well. Vincent with the scoop. No, Grimes the rebound. Grimes, what a night. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Knicks beginning to dribble it out.
Another capacity crowd at the world's most famous arena. Giving kudos to their heroes. IQ, another prolific night. Hart, ubiquity. Barrett, timely hooping. And the return of Brunson.
The game was tied going to the fourth. Knicks outscore Miami 25-16 in this fourth quarter. 16 points given up in the fourth.
Yep, the Knicks defense was superb. Forcing turnovers, getting into transition. So heroes abound for the Knicks tonight. Those two guys attended Kentucky. The Wildcats talking it over.
The magic number is 2 for the Knicks in the playoffs. 101-92. Brunson back. Knicks win it despite Randle going down in the second quarter with the sprained ankle. 24 for Quickley, 23 for Grimes. Goes to spectacular in Brunson's return.
And thanks, Knicks. It's a nice birthday gift for the Clyde. I appreciate it today.
Say it with me now, friends. This fucking team! Woohoo! Oh my God. I've been in my apartment for a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. It's getting close to 2 years. There are two sliding doors separating the living room from the dining room, which when we moved in, the landlord was like, don't fuck around with these doors. They don't work. Keep them in there. And I had to pull them out for right now so I could do that. So I don't wake up my family and get shit from my wife, because this team deserves it. Man, it is so great to be able to root for a group of basketball players where this team, look, I mean, we had a lot of questions before the season about them. I certainly had a lot of questions about the season. I think I called 43 wins as a preseason, my preseason prediction. And deep down in the dark recesses of my soul, as certain folks on certain text threads will tell you, I think if you ask me, what do you think is more likely, that they go a few wins over or that they go a lot of wins under? I think I would have chosen a lot of wins under. I have my doubts. I had my doubts for a lot of reasons. I loved the Brunson signing, but coming off of last year and just how bad the vibes were, how unstable I felt just top to bottom in the organization they were, from the front office coming off the Donovan Mitchell summer to the head coach to ostensibly the best player, Julius Randle, to RJ Barrett, a guy they nearly shipped to Utah, tried to ship to Utah, and then all the way on down and right on down to one Emmanuel Quickley, a guy who literally all he did was everything that was asked of him for 2 years. And it took till the last weekend of the season for him to get a real chance to start. And shout out to Benji Ritholtz, put out a poll a few days ago asking about whether Tibbs has helped or hurt Emmanuel Quickley's development. And, you know, as always, the truth lies somewhere in between. But top to bottom, I had questions. And I thought if this thing went right, okay, maybe it could go a little right and it could get a little bit better than I thought they might be. But if it went wrong, oh my goodness, could this go wrong? And then when they were sitting there at, forget even 10 and 13, I remember it was like it was yesterday after game 7 against the Hawks when they were up by 20 and they lollygagged that lead away and they ended up getting blown out by Atlanta. I wrote the newsletter the next day. I think the coach is on the hot seat. And then it kept going where they picked up a win here and there, but, you know, continued on, you know, you could argue they saved their season on the West Coast road trip, Utah game, Denver game. And then that Dallas game, that first Dallas game. And I find it so incredible that the pivot points for the season revolved around Dallas. There's something fitting there. You know, the trade that essentially defined this version of the Knicks, right? Because if they don't make that Porzingis trade, there's an argument that Steve Mills and keeps his job, and there is no Leon Rose era, and there is no Tom Thibodeau, and there is no, you know, maybe there was no Julius Randle. If they don't make that trade in terms of to get the cap space, and they would have still had their power forward. So I find it fitting that those two Dallas games serve as the major pivot points, because the first Dallas game, the way they lost it, you figured the season was over. And then they rattle off 9 straight wins. And that is the first time, obviously, 9 straight wins, where they were like, no, we're better than you thought we were. And then they kept it going. And then the second Dallas game happened, which, you know, I mean, players say it all the time that, like, for us, it's like it's never as good as it is as it seems when it's great. It's never as bad as it seems when it's terrible. For us sitting there that night, I remember how I was feeling that evening and like, oh my God, this is the worst loss I've ever experienced. And the way they bounced back from that showed how much character and how much grit and how much toughness, mental toughness, physical toughness, emotional toughness was in this locker room. And right on through till the Josh Hart trade and then 9 more wins. Think about it. They had 2 9-game winning streaks, or an 8-game winning streak and a 9-game winning streak this season. Think about that. And, you know, shaky ground the last week, got the get well game against the Houston Rockets. Thank you, Houston. Couldn't pull one off against Brooklyn tonight, unfortunately, but, you know, we'll be thankful for what we have. And they got their mojo back tonight, because on a night when the two pillars of this team, and if you want to throw in RJ, because again, don't forget, before the season, it was the mid three, right? It wasn't the big two. It was the mid three. And if you want to throw in RJ there, you could throw him in there as well. Go through it right now. Julius Randle, 1 made field goal. RJ Barrett in the first half, 0 made field goals. And then Jalen Brunson ended up the game with 5 field goals, 5 of 11 for 12 points. But Jalen Brunson was like clearly not himself, all kinds of rusty. And to the point where he did not close this game. And I sent a text to my brother was in the garden tonight. Shout out Chris Coco, watching. And he texted me, I think with about under 5 to go, maybe 5.5, 6 minutes to go, somewhere around there. And he was telling me how electric the garden was and how, you know, this small ball lineup, we're going to talk about that small ball lineup to close the game, how much it was working. And I texted him, I said, I got to tell you, I don't think I would bring Brunson back into this game. And I never thought in a million years that Tom Thibodeau would heed heed my advice telepathically. But he did. And that's because on a night when Julius Randle, and we're going to talk about Randle, and shout out to Julius Randle for toughing it out for those free throws. And he, we're going to talk about him. He did not have a good night. And I am a little worried about how he came out, and equally worried about his standing moving forward, because that was a pretty bad ankle sprain, but we'll save that for a bit. On a night when Brunson, or when Randle didn't have it, when RJ didn't have it for a half, and when Brunson didn't have it, for you to find a way to beat that Heat team, and look, let's call it like it is. Did the Heat have it tonight in the way that we've seen? Like, the Heat team that they beat tonight, did they come out and play quite as well as the Heat team that was in their own building a week ago? No. But you know what? Home court advantage, right? It's supposed to mean something. And for us tonight, I think maybe it finally did. We did not get Jimmy Butler's best, but you know what we did get? We got Gabe Vincent's best, and we got Duncan Robinson's best. And even so, for the Knicks to come out in a, and that game was tied after three quarters, and we were missing, again, had one all-star on this team, and he was gone. And they absolutely put their foot on Miami's throat in the way that the Miami Heat so many times before have put their foot on the throat of so many teams. That is what they do. And now it's what we do. And that's how we won this game. With defense, with toughness, with grit, without any excuses saying we don't have our all-star, our other should have been an all-star, Jalen Brunson doesn't have it tonight. None of it. None of it. And how do they do it? They did it with two 25th picks in the draft. Emmanuel Quickley and Quentin Grimes. And you want to throw in Josh Hart in there too, who was, I believe, was he the 30th pick? He was, I know he was in the late 20s, or maybe he was 30, whatever it was. Another late first round pick that they traded for. Great trade. And another guy who I believe he was a second round pick. I don't know off the top of my head what pick he was. Isaiah Hartenstein, best backup center in the NBA. He's been the best center on this team for a while now. And not to be outdone, the Undertaker himself. He's never dead. When you he could be comatose. He could be like literally in a coma. And yet, comes out of halftime, and he finds a way. And that's RJ Barrett. And they just scrapped and clawed, and they won it with defense. And they won it with a coach who adjusted to the moment. Credit to him. And credit to also, like, I do think there was something to be said for the fact that we talk about mental toughness, and we talk about how strong the locker room is, and we talk about all these sorts of things. That sort of culture does have to be fostered. And obviously, I'm not going to bore anybody with waxing poetic about Tom Thibodeau, but nice to see him go with what was working down the stretch and not try to pivot away from it and go with the guys who are actually who got him that lead. But this team is just everything you could possibly want as a basketball fan. I thought the team 2 years ago was great, and not great. That's the wrong word. I thought they were as good as it gets because they were so scrappy and this and that and the other thing. They lacked talent. Let's just be straight. They lacked talent, and they did it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. And then they were kind of exposed when what happened in the playoffs happened. But even before that, even before, like, whatever, I think the 9-game winning streak started with, what was that, about 16 games to go in the season, 15, 16, 14, somewhere around there. Not many games left to go in the season. Before that 9-game winning streak started, they were an under 500 team. They were, I think they were one or two or three games under 500, something like that. So, like, even that, that was like a whole season. This team is different. This team from, again, you knew they had some talent over those first 23 games, and they just couldn't put it together. And since that 23-game mark, since that Dallas game, that first Dallas game, everything you could possibly want with the talent that they have on this team. They are getting the absolute most out of their talent. And we're going to talk about all the individual players. And I wish I had 10 minutes to wax poetic about each of these guys. And I hope in the comments, people spread the wealth and don't focus only on the guy I'm going to bring up first, and that's Emmanuel Quickley. I don't know. Is it time we stop talking about where the Knicks' third star is going to come from? You know, I've said for a while now, I'm in the minority on this, and I'm sure I'm going to catch shit for it. But like I've said, I wish RJ would lean more into just being the best role player he could be. And like, again, there are role players in the NBA who get paid $100 million contracts and earn it because they play their role. They do everything. They check all the different boxes, you know, without having to do too much creation. Like that's the definition of a role player. You're not someone who spearheads the offense, which RJ, by the way, can do and did tonight. And they needed it because, man, were his buckets big in the second half. I want to say his second to last bucket. It was a drive when Quickley had missed a few in a row. And it looked like they were a little struggling for offense, and he put his head on down, drove the lane, converted. But like, I feel like between these two players, I'd like RJ to lean a little bit more into, let me do all of the other things as great as I can. I'll get my chances to create here and there, whether it's with the second unit or whatever else the case may be. Quickley, man, I think he's different. I think this guy is a star. I remember the fourth preseason game of his rookie year, that Cleveland game, when he came out and in the first however many minutes it was, what did he score, like 8 or 9 or 11 points in like the first couple minutes and was dishing assist after assist. It was like, whoa, we found our point guard. And that was a little premature, but you saw it then. You saw it then, and you saw it in his rookie year, never afraid of the moment, big shot after big shot. Certainly saw it down the stretch of last year. And then after a rough shooting start to this season, he's going to win sixth man of the year. That should be so. I think he sewed that up tonight. And I said it with Chris Herring on the pod that we just recorded. Like, there's only been in the last 30 plus years, two sixth men of the year award winners that fit this profile. Young player in their, Hero was in his third year, and I think Harden was in his third year as well, if I'm not mistaken. Andrew could fact check that on me, but both of them were young. They were on their rookie contracts, and everybody else has been 24 or older. And like, I think Leandro Barbosa was 24. So like James Harden obviously went on to become an MVP. Tyler Hero went on to, what did he sign for? 4 years and $120 million, $114 million guaranteed, something like that. Maybe 110, I forget, whatever it was. It was over $100 million. And he's a guy that has been talked about as maybe future potential all-star. I know Knicks fans, some Knicks fans have been having this conversation for a while, but I think the conversation needs to expand. What can't this guy do? What doesn't this guy do well? You want offense creation? Well, he certainly created a hell of a lot of offense tonight. You want passing? The pass that he threw to Isaiah Hartenstein when he was falling out of the bounds from the corner, that was... What was that? I don't know if I've seen a better pass than Nick make this made by a Nick this year. Took command of the game. Best player on the floor tonight by far. Best player on the floor for two straight games. He was best player on the floor a few weeks ago, whatever it was, in Boston. Like, this guy's a star, man. This guy's a star. And I just hope he's a Knick for a long time. And I hope they realize what they have. I have to think they realize what they have. I mean, it smacks you in the face. It's so obvious what this kid is. And he's still a third-year player. 25th pick in the draft. And then, not to be outdone, Quentin Grimes, the 25th pick the next year after Emmanuel Quickley. A lot of jokes made this summer, right? A lot of jokes made. Oh, Mr. Untouchable. Now, we know from the reporting that isn't quite accurate, but the jokes were made. There's a reason you don't trade a guy like Quentin Grimes. And this is Quentin's, his third 20-point game in four outings? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good sign for a second-year player who was once upon a time a top 10 recruit. things didn't go right. And again, you want to talk about how they have built this team, and credit to the front office for getting guys in here with character that have been down, that have been top 10 recruits. Hello, Emmanuel Quickly. And then knocked down a peg, sent to the bench, been forced to transfer because you're not getting the time because it didn't work out for you at your first school. In the case of Quentin Grimes, fell all the way in the draft. Quickly was supposed to be a second rounder. Quentin Grimes was supposed to be a second rounder. They grabbed both of these kids. Shout out to Walt Perrin or whoever wanted these guys, whether you want to give West credit, you want to give Tibbs credit. Tibbs allegedly loved Quentin Grimes. What Quentin Grimes did tonight, rescuing them early on when they were sleepwalking through the beginning of this game. Certain players were sleepwalking through the beginning of this game or just didn't have it. And down the stretch, and both of them with their defense, and shout out to Josh Hart with his defense. I already talked about RJ Barrett. Fantastic second half performance from him. Really, really outstanding. They don't win this game without his efforts and contributions in the second half. And then I'm going to finish it with a guy who a lot of post games through the first, there's always one, right? 2 years ago, it was Elfrid Payton. Last year, it became Alec Burks, not because Alec Burks is bad, but because Alec Burks was playing a position he should never be playing. And this year was Isaiah Hartenstein. Someone's got to be the punching bag. It's a player, right? Because you only shovel so much shit on the coach. And it was Hartenstein. And it was Hartenstein for the first 2.5 months of the season. Probably 2.5, 3, maybe even months of the season. Maybe even 3. I don't know. Maybe really. I'm trying to think when it turned around. It might have been early January, mid-January, somewhere around there. Right around, you know, it was early January because the stops right at the end of the game against Cleveland, the Cleveland win that ended the little mini losing streak they had around New Year's. And since then, he has been, without question, the best backup center in the NBA. And he has become an instrumental part to what they do. Night in and night out. You want to talk about a guy that absolutely changed the complexion of the game. And I don't want to say like Mitchell Robinson was bad. I think that's a little bit too strong, but Mitch has been a little off lately. And I don't want to end the monologue on a negative note, but like there are concerns moving forward. Mitchell Robinson has not been great for a little while now. Has had spurts after halftime against Houston, came out and completely changed that game. And then tonight, maybe not as much of an impact. Julius Randle, what was going on? Forget the ankle sprain. What was going on when he came out in the first quarter? Again, can't question his toughness. Shout out to him. He shot the free throws, didn't want to exit that game. Since the 57-point game, something has been off with Julius Randle. I don't know. Maybe he needs a few days off. I don't know what it is. I just hope the next time we see him on a basketball court, it is the version of Julius Randle that we got used to for the first 70-ish or whatever it was, 72, 73 games of this year. Because the guy that came out of the locker room tonight is not going to help them win basketball games. Brunson, I don't worry about it. He'll be fine. RJ, we've been down this road before. I hope he'll be okay. Or eliminate some of these clunkers in the first half because that definitely hurt them. But like, so there are concerns, there are questions, but hey, talk about burying the lead. I don't want to say it yet. I don't want to make any proclamations yet because nothing is officially wrapped up. But, I think we're going dancing, baby. I think we're going dancing. We'll see where they end up. We'll see what seed they end up in. Nets won tonight, as I said. Nets have an Angel Food Cake schedule coming up. A couple tough games. We'll see what the Philly game, if that matters to them, or if that matters to Philly, I should say. So haven't wrapped up the fifth seed quite yet, although, again, we'll get into some of the tiebreaker stuff as we go on tonight. This was a huge win. This was a huge win. It was a massive step towards the fifth seed, and it all but locked up a playoff berth. And I don't care if you've been watching this team for 3 years. You still went through a lot of pain and suffering. That's how bad last year was. But if you've been watching this team for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, however long it's been, 50, 60, you've been through a lot of shit. So, man, pour yourself one. I got mine. Sip it. Enjoy it. These are the good. These are the nights. These are the nights that make you just make you thrilled to root for a team like this when they give it back to you, what you've given to them. Whew. Okay.
For over 30 years, the law offices of Weiss and Rosenblum in New York City has been home to a team of award-winning, hard-hitting injury attorneys who have a long track record of seven-figure results. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, fall, construction accident, or other traumatic event, Weiss and Rosenblum will work tirelessly to maximize the award regardless of the severity of your injury and get you and your family the fair and just compensation you deserve. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today at 212-366-6100. Again, that's 212-366-6100 or visit weissandrosenblum.com for more information. No case is too big or too small. Personal attention to your matter is a priority. Once more, call 212-366-6100. Previous results do not guarantee future outcomes. If you think you might have a case, speak with a veteran attorney, not a rookie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You've got New Year's goals, and HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. Looking for an easy way to eat well and save money this year? Cut back on expensive takeout and delivery and get started with HelloFresh. You'll love how easy, fun, and affordable it is to whip up a restaurant-quality meal right in your own kitchen. With fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions are ready in less than 15 minutes. Enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. If you know anything about me, you know that I'm not the greatest when it comes to cooking. Thankfully, I found a life partner that loves her time in the kitchen and loves putting together these elaborate meals. Unfortunately, with her schedule working at a school all day and my schedule covering sports all night, we rarely have time to go to the grocery store together. Well, HelloFresh has made it possible for us to do all the grocery shopping for the week right from the comfort of our living room. In fact, just last night when I was editing the latest KFS pod, she was putting together two plates of Presto Pesto Panko chicken with roasted potatoes and green beans. We were able to do dinner and a movie without even leaving the comfort of our own home. And this is just one of several delicious HelloFresh meal options, with cook and prep time taking less than an hour. When you've got busy, conflicting schedules like ours, you don't have to go out for dinner and a movie. Instead, it comes right to you. Don't hesitate. Head to HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool60 and use code FilmSchool60 for 60% off plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool60 and use code FilmSchool60 for 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about Game Time. Is there an upcoming event you're trying to get tickets to? Whether it be tickets to one of the final home games of the Knicks season, or maybe it's a concert or a comedy show. Whatever it is, buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped up for the fun you're gonna have. Currently browsing through the Game Time app, and I see all the events coming up in the area. Whether it be the Knicks home game against the Miami Heat on Wednesday, or home opener tickets for the Mets and Yankees, the Game Time app is so easy to navigate. You can search by category, like sports, music, or shows, or search by teams, like the Yankees, Islanders, or Knicks. I have to say that my favorite feature is the full 3D peripheral view you get whenever you select a seat. Just select a seat that's within your price range, move the phone from left to right and get a good idea of the view you'll have during the event. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Game Time is also the fastest growing ticketing app in the country, and for a good reason. As I mentioned, get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, just two taps and you're set. Tickets are then sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use promo code FILMSCHOOL for $20 off your first purchase. Again, create an account and redeem code FILMSCHOOL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Personal injury report. Let's do it. Then we'll do a moment of the game and then we will get to the super chats. Personal injury report, of course, presented by our good friends at Weiss and Rosenblum. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today if you think you might have a personal injury case, 212-366-6100. Or visit them at weissandrosenblum.com for more information. Again, consultations are absolutely free. If they take your case, they do not get paid unless you do. Prior results don't guarantee future outcomes. But go with a veteran, not a rookie. And hey, listen, the Knicks have a bunch of young players, but they are a team of veterans. They are young veterans, but they are veterans. Much like Weiss and Rosenblum. Again, 212-366-6100. Obviously, the personal injury report tonight. We go from Jalen Brunson to Julius Randle. Julius Randle has been the most durable player in the NBA this season. It was him and Anthony Edwards, and then Anthony Edwards had to miss a few games there. And now we don't know what's going on with Julius. So the next game is against Cleveland on Friday. And then they play 2 days after that. And that is a game against the Wizards, who are still fighting. The Wizards demolished Boston last night. So that game may mean something to the Wizards. And then they have 2 days off. And then they go Indy, New Orleans, Indy. We'll see what happens with it. Am I going to be... I'm just going to be honest. And this may be... Oh boy, this may turn into a cold take. So we'll see. But I don't know if I'm going to be heartbroken if Julius Randle has to sit a few games. again, is it that he's tired? Is it that he's mentally drained? Is it that he's some combination of the above? And that's why we've kind of seen him the way he's been the last couple games. I don't know. But the notion that maybe a few days off might not be the worst thing in the world for him. Look, I don't think it's going to affect his All-NBA candidacy. I know he wanted to play 82. If he doesn't get to do it, I mean, it is what it is. No one's going to question his toughness or his heart or anything like that. He's a bull. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Julius Randle. Okay. Moment of the game. And I'm going to have to do this solo because Andrew Claudio, and speaking of toughness and grit, shout out to Andrew Claudio. I don't know if he said this publicly. but Andrew Claudio, can I say what you have?
You could say it.
Yeah, he has bronchitis. So he summoned his inner Emmanuel Quickly to tough out this postgame.
And as a result, you will not see me chime in as much as I normally do, but you missed one thing, John.
What did I miss?
That was a brilliant start to the postgame. The vibes are back here in New York. But for one final time this season, can we take 10 seconds, all of you watching out there that find it cute when your star player has 10 points going into the fourth quarter because he's actually not him as much as John Macri thinks he is, that thinks this Pat Riley run team that is one loss away from falling down to the ninth seed, this great Heat culture, this team, John Macri, that is... supporting Kyle Lowry at how many millions of dollars had to turn to Duncan 30. Robinson, who actually kind of killed us at certain points tonight, because that's how desperate they are. That on Udonis Haslam night lost by 30 points at home. This is who we were afraid of. Alonzo Mourning is not walking through that door. Tim Hardaway is not walking through that door. Dwayne Wade is not walking through that door. LeBron James is not walking through that door. This run is over, and we can put this team in our rearview mirror. So wherever you are, please take 10 seconds to laugh at the Miami Heat because they already left midway through the fourth quarter because they've got dinner reservations. Go ahead, John. Enjoy your post.
That was better than anything I said in the first 25 minutes of this podcast. All right, moment of the game. I will do this solo. Two quickly ones have to be there. And neither of them were like late in the fourth quarter as they were making that run. And so I'm going to have to pick one something from the run. Here are the two that absolutely need to be there. The Emmanuel Quickly over the backboard shot gave the Knicks 26 points. And then he stole the ball right after that on the next possession. That might be the shot of the season, at least in terms of degree of difficulty. That's one. The Emmanuel Quickly pass to Isaiah Hartenstein, that actually was in the fourth quarter. It put them, hold on, exceptional live streaming here, gave them 81 points. It gave them the lead. It broke a tie, 81-79. And then for the third and final one, there's two candidates that I have. Emmanuel Quickly got credited with the steal on this play, but I think Isaiah Hardenstein's defense on Bam Adebayo to stifle the initial action was just as important. It's the Quickly steal that led to the Grimes dunk that I believe capped off. Yes. It capped off the an 8-0 run. It made it 94-85, and that's the moment where it was like, oh man, they're going to win this game. I think I'm going to go with that because it was so exciting. But I do want to give an honorable mention to the RJ Barrett three that made it 100-89 because that was the nail in the coffin. So honorable mention to the RJ three, but got to go with the other three for the three candidates. They had to do it. Okay, those are our moments of the game, and I can't wait for this. I'm so excited to do this. So I'm gonna take a deep breath.
Your big smile.
I love that Haitian is starting us off here. My main man, Haitian Ferg. You're gonna get an email from me soon. I'll just tell you that. Shout out to you, man. The team bounced back, and I'm so proud. It's on quick. It's both him and the coach. He kept his ass in the gym, and the coach rewarded him. That's it. I'm in love with this team, and we will look back and appreciate Tibbs. He is the identity and the culture. Well, look, I am obviously, as everybody knows here, the preeminent Tom Thibodeau pom-pom waiver, whatever you want to say, agent, PR man, hype man, all the things. I do think a coach sets the tone to a certain extent, but it's also, it's the coaching staff. It is the organization. The reason I always have given Thibodeau credit is more comparing what has gone on since he has arrived. And also Leon Rose and his team in the front office, they play a big role in this too. I compare that to what's been going on the last 20 years. And it's not an easy city or an organization to come and coach or run from the front office. Where I think it gets most interesting for me is I know nothing, to be very clear, but I would wager a not insignificant sum of money that if you gave Emmanuel Quickley truth serum and you're like, so what do you think of the fact that Tibbs like never gave you a real shot, you know, down until the very end of last season? I bet he would have some choice words, right? But here's the thing, and I've read enough about great coaches. I mean, I'm thinking about the Lombardi biography that is a fantastic biography that I should know who wrote it, but I can't see it on my bookshelf at the moment. But like, you read about any coach, like the great coaches, oftentimes, most of the time, really throughout history, this has changed a little bit of late, but throughout history, are not guys that players like, you know. They're not warm and cuddly and fuzzy and the whole thing. Obviously the players have to believe in them, they have to respect them, and I don't know, maybe they do need to love them to a certain extent to put it all on the line for them. But like, you know, the fact that Quickley like has had to continue to like make it so that I'm not going to let you keep me on the bench. Basically, I'm going to force you to put me in the game because I'm going to make you look like such an idiot if you don't. Like, how do we reconcile that? Right. I don't know. And it's tough for me because obviously I'm a supporter of this coach, and I'm sure there are people who would examine the situation that I just kind of presented and be like, what are you kidding me? The coach is an idiot for taking as long as he did. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But look, he has them where he has them now. So credit to him for that. And I think he deserves some credit. Thanks, Haitian. Appreciate you, man. Greg Film Stuff. Thank you for the generous contribution, Greg. Horrible first quarter. Bad timing for a Randall injury, but it was impressive to see the team get the win down the stretch without Brunson, Randall, and Mitch. Nice to see Grimes get 36 minutes and finish the game. He is getting comfortable. Not only did Quentin Grimes get 36 minutes, did he finish with 36 minutes? Because if he finished with 36 minutes, unless I am mistaken, that would mean that he played the entire second half. And I'm sure people in the chat are like, yes, of course he played the entire second half. Did you see him come off the court? And I can't think of a moment when I did. I'm not as cognizant about these sorts of things as some others. But yeah, he had to have played the entire second half because he only played 12 minutes in the first half. Awesome stuff from Quentin Grimes to not come off the court. Again, another guy. Now, Tibbs, I think, was a little bit more pro Grimes right from the start than maybe he was at times pro Quickley. But still, like, I'm gonna force you to keep me on the floor, you know? And he did, and it paid off. Thanks, Greg. Dom Cappuccini, what's going on, Dom? How are you, my man? Were you as surprised as I was with that late run after a mostly tense second half? Bless your heart, Hart brothers. I am beside myself with pride for this freaking team. Get that filth. Forget that fifth. I was supposed to say get that filth. I don't. This team is filthy. I don't know how many lead changes and ties it ended up with. I believe we were the last I remember Ed Cohen saying. Did he say 23 lead changes? I don't know if it was over 20 at one point. And then there were a bunch of ties in there too. But my heart was like, I don't know how you felt from like the really from the middle of the third quarter onwards. I felt like my heart was in my throat, like beating like a mile a minute. And then, so I figured, and it was funny. I was thinking in the beginning of the fourth quarter when it was back and forth. I was thinking back to the spread on the game that I saw beforehand, and it was Knicks by 6, I think, is the spread that I saw. And I was like, and again, I don't bet, but I occasionally do have these thoughts like, man, if I just went with my gut and like, there's no way that this one team or another team is going to win this game by 6 points. I was like, I should have taken the freaking Heat. And sure enough, they go on that run. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And I was shocked as much as not from what we did, although our defense has been poor for a while. And the fact that they won it with defense was surprising given how they've been playing lately, but that wasn't shocking. What was more shocking to me was just like, I mean, I'll throw it back to what Andrew said before. Miami just, I mean, we stepped on their necks, but they were kind of laying down to die as we were stepping on their necks. I want to make sure I want to give the Knicks credit, all the credit in the world. They won that game. They took it from the Miami Heat, but like that Heat team was, I was not impressed necessarily with what they did in the fourth quarter. I'll say that. Thanks, Dom.